Welcome to Raw Dog.
This is a podcast where we discuss sex, intimacy, and our experiences working in the adult industry.
We're Evie and Axel, and we are a real-life Melbourne couple who work together as escorts.
Which means we've really seen some things.
This is extremely adult content, so if you're listening at your nan's house, maybe don't.
You've been warned. Let's go. Welcome back to the second part of our podcast episode on sexual bucket lists.
Yeah. The first part was on the fundamentals of bucket lists and desires and what that means to us and others. Yeah. And part two
is going to be our bucket lists. What have we had on our bucket lists that we've experienced? What's still on our bucket lists that we do want to experience? Mm. It's going to be juicy.
Yum, yum.
It's going to be steamy. And if you're up for that, stick around.
Oh, I'd recommend it.
Let's pivot and talk a little bit about what has actually been found to be on our bucket lists.
Juicy.
Yeah. It's a little bit edgy.
It's a bit edgy. It's very honest.
Yeah.
Very vulnerable.
You feel kind of exposed almost.
Yeah. I am tending towards being more and more exposed though. It feels a lot more freeing.
Yeah.
The wind on my skin and all that jazz.
Yeah. Do you wanna kick off and share some of your
Yeah, so I'm just reflecting on, I guess, my journey with sexuality. It's a story in itself, so we're not going to go there. But I think since we've connected, what I've really discovered is that safety is the absolute foundation for being able to access my full range of desires and bucket list items, let's say. The first thing I think I brought to you, which was quite edgy because partners previous to you had been a little bit, there'd been a bit of shame around it. There was a bit of judgment perhaps around me wanting these things, which is complete projection based on their own conditioning. And I'm aware of this, but it doesn't mean that I don't feel the shame of being, you know, judged or criticized for having a desire in these categories. So that's a bit to work through for me. Mm. So I brought it to you very tentatively and very nervously. And you met me with real enthusiasm, even if there was a bit of like I haven't done this. I think for me, tapping into power dynamics was a really big one that I'd been curious about for a long time. And it's another whole topic in itself, why I like power dynamics and more so me being on the submissive end of that. Essentially, the short version is being someone who's very independent, in control, and has had to manage my life quite independently and by myself for a long time. In fact, probably most of my life, even in childhood, being able to surrender into a safe space in which I don't have to take the lead and I can offer my softness to someone who can take care of it and in a sexual way was an incredibly empowering and sexy prospect. So the more that we connected and the more safety I felt that I could open that up with you. And it was scary because I'm like, regardless of how well I felt, I knew you, I don't know how you're going to respond to this. But you were like, yeah, you took it on board. And then I think within only a few weeks, you said, give me some time. It's going to take me some time to access these parts of myself because it was new to you.
Yep.
But very quickly, we found ourselves moving into some playful dynamics around power roles and power play. And we continue to explore that. It's a journey, right? Like it's not something you just do and it's done with this stuff. It's very psychological and emotional and very personal for me personally, at least, and I'm sure for many other people. So, being in that role has been really, really sexy. And also stepping into play with more than one man, that to me has been incredibly edgy. I've had some very poor experiences that have not been exactly consensual from younger years with multiple men being involved. And because of that, the idea of stepping into that space was always quite daunting for me. But I knew that we would have a great time of it. And so when I brought it up with you, you were like, yeah, absolutely, let's play with that. And so there was a safety in stepping into exploring with another man, another safe man specifically that we'd both chosen for. The people that you involve yourselves with in these experiences are essential. Yeah. Like just picking someone off the street can be incredibly, like, it's not going to work. You've got to, for me personally, and I know for you, we've got to build that safety. And that is what allows for these experiences to be so profound. Playing with another man, playing in group dynamic in a way that I can experience you engaging with another woman and feel completely at ease, safe and peaceful in that exchange and like excited for you. Delicious. Like, because my experience, my trauma comes from abandonment, devaluation and not feeling like I'm enough. So the idea that I would ever be able to access that felt impossible, but turns out it's not. And I really really frothed seeing you involved with someone who was really safe and lovely and beautiful and very good looking. Like, it was really lovely to be able to access that for myself and for you as well. So that was like a bucket list tick there. And I think the list will go on and on. It will go on and on and continue to build, but
there's some themes there.
Oh, there's some themes. Yeah, there's some really sexy themes. I'm just like, all of the delicious, juicy, sexy energy in the safest environments with the safest people, and just tapping into things I didn't even think I'd be into, as well, and being like, oh, turns out that I've desired to explore this, but I felt like I couldn't because that feels like a more, masculine place to be, or feels like it's too submissive, or it feels like that shouldn't feel hot, but it is hot. Like with role plays and playing role plays, I like playing quite innocent in role play, and stepping into that's pretty edgy for me, for you. Or tapping into like a bit of like free use energy. I love me some free use. Oh my gosh.
These are all things that we discussed before we stepped into.
Absolutely, we did. Yeah. So that you don't step into this bat. No. Full blown discussions about what it means, what's safe words, and generalized, very solid consent going in. But I mean, I trust you wholeheartedly. I have no concerns. But for anyone who might be wanting to explore it, there needs to be conversations. You can't just go, oh, is that okay? Cool, let's go. This is like...
I'm also talking from the perspective of like building up that list of like, we've talked about this, we've talked about that. That becomes your list. See, the things that you bring to that conversation are kind of like, it's like your bucket list. So I think women probably don't have kind of like a checklist, like, I don't know what I can say here, but you know, this position, that location, this thing, like guys might have, I saw that in a video once, so it's really hot. I want to do that.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
That's very male.
A male mindset. Yeah. I have noticed that there has been a difference. Porn driven. And again, another topic for another time, but like how porn impacts your desires and, you know, accessing what is your true desire versus what is a conditioned desire? And we will have this conversation another time. But it's an interesting one because not all porn is inherently wrong or bad.
No, this is the thing. I've seen things in porn that I've thought that could be cool. And it's turned out to be not really for me.
Yeah.
And I've seen other things in porn that I'm like, oh, I'm just told that that's supposed to be hot because I just see that everywhere.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But then I experience something like, okay, that is hot. And you know what? That really that works for me. And I want more of that. So it's like porn can almost cast an illusion over. Like you don't understand which part of this is actually me and which part is just something that I've been conditioned with, right?
It's all individual. Because for you, that thing that was like, might be an absolute like game changer for the next person. Absolute banger.
Yeah.
So it really does vary. And female expression of bucket list items may be a different to male, let's say, and I'm talking in male and fem terms here, just as a generalization. You know, I know there's in-betweens and some people fall in there. But in my experience, more so with clientele or people in my life, it's come from a more kind of male space or female space. And there is versatility to that. You get some women who are more masculine and they might fall into the more, I've got a bucket list territory, and you might have a man who's more like, I have desires territory, and all of them are beautiful and welcome.
Yeah. Maybe both.
Maybe both. Yeah.
Well, we, in the bookings that we've had where this has become relevant, it's mostly been males booking.
Yes.
And sometimes with the entire setup being kind of like, look, this is what I want to experience. I've always wanted to do a video of myself with another couple, and that I can keep. And I won't publish it.
Yeah.
It's okay. We're already online.
Yeah. Or, you know, double penetration.
Double penetration
was our most recent one. Yeah. And that was a, like, we'll do our best to fulfill that if it feels right in the moment.
Yeah.
And it was an optional thing. And we all, in a moment, felt like it was something we could do when we did. And it was like, again, absolute, mind blowing experience for him, and just so wonderful to see how impactful it was in such a beautiful, empowering way for that client.
Yeah.
And we left there buzzing. We were it was great.
Well, it helps that that's something that's been on my bucket list and turned out to be a bit of a hit for me personally.
It was very sexy. It was very hot. Yeah. But I do want to note, I've just thought about one of our female clients. She had a bucket list item / desire, and that was for you to finish inside of her with a condom on, of course. But she wanted the experience of having another man finish inside of her, and that was her desire. Like, she specifically wanted that, and to me, that's a bucket list thing. That's something she hadn't experienced outside of her husband. You offered her that desire, and she was very, very pleased. And so was her husband. And so was I.
Turned out we timed that perfectly with you and the husband too.
Yeah. We all lined up and we all had like a nice, complete evening where everybody finalized. Four-way high fives. So bucket list do fall under the category of desires.
And I think an earlier version of me would have found it deeply uncomfortable to even talk about this, because I would have felt that I couldn't talk about my desires that way.
Yeah.
Because, like, what if I suggested to you, hey, I want to do, I don't know, double penetration or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, I'm totally off. Like, why would you want that? You know, like.
The shame.
Yeah.
The shame.
The expectation of what could, like, even if there was a small risk of that.
Yeah.
The shame that I would feel in having shared a desire and had that kind of like rebuked or even be ostracized for having a desire, like not worth
it. That's incredibly painful. And I don't think that's an uncommon experience. And I think that is why most people don't really go to the depths of their true sexual nature, because there is so much shame attached societally to sex and what it means. So to access those parts of ourselves, even if they feel like they're really deep, really innate and really important to us, it's like, it can be impossible for some people to get past the fear, because in most instances they probably will be shamed or critiqued, because in normal society it's not okay to have desires like this. It's not okay to feel this way. It's not okay to enjoy the idea that your wife's fucking another man. It's not okay to like having two dicks inside of you at the same time. Yeah it is. It's great. Just saying. But. Yeah.
Plenty of people on Reddit and Pornhub agree with
you. Yeah, I think so. But if we're talking about a general, you know, if we're talking about general society, it's not to be discussed. Like,
No. There are a lot of people that couldn't sit and say what you just said.
That's right. Like, but I'm very comfortable with owning the fact that I love the idea of having multiple penises. Can I say penises? I think I can. Multiple members. I like the idea of having multiple members. I like the idea of having multiple people. I like the idea of playing with dynamics that are considered perverted or wrong. I like tapping into sexual taboos, so long as there is no one involved that, you know, is underage, or there's nothing involved that is. Personally, I'm not interested in things like, you know, scat or blood or anything like that. That's off the list for me. But if it's within, legal, ethical, morally sound values and my own values and wants and needs and desires, then like anything goes. There is so much you can access when you tap into what is true to you. and what actually sparks you, what gets you excited, and you can be real creative with it.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now it's your turn, Mr. Bucket List.
Yeah. So a lot of this I didn't know until conversations around the subject sort of emerged.
Mm-hmm.
But the general theme for me is, I would say, hedonism in some form. The sort of like the excess of sexual indulgence that society doesn't permit.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a few sort of streams under that, which could just be, it could just involve two people having sex, but lots of it for a long time, or one person kind of indulging in the experience. It's sort of, how would you describe this? Sex often takes the form where it's supposed to be reciprocal. We are supposed to want the same experience, share that experience in an even way, and both have an equal amount of input into how it plays out and an equal amount of pleasure from it. And, you know, at the end of it, it's kind of like, nice, if that could be like a movie in itself with all of the ingredients that make that, you know, complete and fair.
Yeah, has to be 50-50, at least close to, in order for the experience to be a full experience, is the general idea of what is a right experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
Whereas what I've discovered, and this goes both ways, I love experiences where you ravish me and fully indulge in whatever you want, and I'm at your disposal there to give you that experience or to be used for that experience. And I love that every bit as much as being the ravishing person. And we're talking like, you can have anything or I can have anything, you know, like I am for you to enjoy in any way you want with no limitation and no shame.
Yeah.
You know?
Free use, baby.
Free use, but in a
reverent way.
Yeah. Not in the bored and ignored kind of way, but more like, what would you like?
Yeah.
I can give you that.
You can have anything you like.
Mm. Mm. And to fully get to indulge, that's hedonistic by normal society standards, I feel. So that's kind of like a starting point on one end of that spectrum. But then taking it into group situations or like a threesome situations or playing with another couple or in like a temple or party space, something like that. That's something that I've discovered that didn't come from me originally. There were themes that were brought to me and were originally very triggering because the trigger around it was my repression of that desire sort of surfacing again, along with all of the stuff that comes with that. What does that say about me? What if I'm found out to be inadequate in that situation, especially if there is another man involved? What can he do that I can't? What has he done that I haven't? That whole kind of all the insecurities and stuff.
Yeah, inadequacy wounding is a big one.
Very much.
Yeah.
And also conditioning. What does society say about you doing that? Or what does society say about your partner doing that? If you're a man, I know a lot of men who would have been perfectly happy to go and have group sex themselves, but the idea of their wife having group sex would be something entirely different.
Oh, absolute cuck would be the language used, which is...
If a man does it, you're a stud, right? Yeah. And if a woman does it, then you're something else.
And the reasons why that is, again, a whole nother conversation.
Yeah, different episode.
Different episode, but you're really true to many, if not most, you know, relationships.
And I feel as a man, unless you are very neurodivergent in a different way than I am, you can't grow up in our society without taking on some of that conditioning, having some work to do to release that. But I can tell you this from all the work that I've done, that's some of the most valuable for me, and because it's opened the door to me to step into desires that I otherwise could not have.
Yeah, when you shed that conditioning and what society expects of you as a man, as a woman, you're able to access your full authentic self, your full authentic smorgasbord of desire and wants for yourself without feeling like there's a shame attached. Yeah. But it does. It takes work. It does. But that work, like you just said, has been like the absolute best thing you could have done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm talking about shame and conditioning in experiences that do involve other men. You've touched on them before, and they could be like a threesome situation or someone in a group situation.
Mm-hmm.
I have never had an experience with another man one-on-one. I'm not drawn to that. That's another discussion as well. But experiences that do involve another man, like there are parts of that experience that also society has a lot to say about. But ways that I can indulge in that type of situation that I wouldn't have discovered that I enjoyed that unless I'd just found myself in the situation with sort of like license or freedom to explore, right? Like sometimes it's not until the rubber meets the road that you kind of understand what something is to you and what it isn't.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, I'm having an impulse to do something, but something is telling me I shouldn't. What is that?
Yeah.
And is that me telling me that, or is that conditioning or you know?
Yeah, it's exploring that and actually digging into it. And there's different ways to do that, you know, like CBT kind of, you know, therapy-based modalities or just generalized connection with self and going into the layers. There's multiple ways to do it, but...
Mm. Yeah, so that's been fascinating, and it's like if you're talking now, like now upon having had those experiences, were they on my bucket list all along? Well, probably not all along, but in discovering A, I realized that B and C are probably on my bucket list, and then having experienced that again, these things becoming part of, you know, repertoire is probably the wrong word. But let's just say things that are recurring desires.
Yeah.
As compared to just kind of like an idea that I just wanted to cross that off.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But everyone needs to join the Mile High Club.
Oh, yes. That one. You have mentioned that one a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yep.
We are yet to join it together.
Yeah.
I'm a former member.
You're a former member.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you have to rejoin with every new relationship? I don't know.
I'm not sure. I'm not a member, so I can't say.
Well, we're going to Thailand in May, so.
Yeah.
Bring your boarding card and your condoms or whatever.
Yeah, or not.
Yeah. Sex in different places. Naughty places. Semi-public places where you're not supposed to be doing things.
Like
That was on my bucket list, and it's still on my list of things I enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sneaky, naughty stuff.
Naughty places where you shouldn't be.
Breaking rules a little bit.
Breaking the rules. Yeah.
I do like that.
You do.
But yeah, there's we have ticked off a few boxes lately,
which means
that we actually probably need to sit down and review our list and see, what have we missed here?
Well, what else has come up in the process of experiencing new things? Have there been new things come to the surface? Have there been more curiosities? Because we have jumped into the, you know, the deep end, I would say, with some of the stuff, and it's been great. But now what's on the list?
I know for me, exhibitionism, if you want to sort of put that as an umbrella thing, like being witnessed, being seen, the idea of that has been so edgy for me that I would not have had the capacity or courage to step into that in the past. But I'm increasingly feeling more comfortable with that.
Yes, and I did notice.
You have noticed that.
Noticed the last time that we played in a very, I say public, but it wasn't a public setting. It was a private public setting in which that was the intention, was to become sexual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you definitely stepped into that space. More than I've ever seen you step into it. And it was divine.
It was the first time I've ever felt like truly empowered in that.
Yeah.
And I feel like, okay, the more of that, please.
I relate wholeheartedly, to be able to step into a space and be your full, authentic sexual self is... Like, there's nothing like it. No. You can't describe it to anyone.
Very liberating and empowering.
Very, yeah. And it kind of pumps you up for the rest of your life. It brings you into your life full of creative sexual energy, which allows you to just manage stress better, enjoy life more.
Mm.
And I think it just bleeds into every part of your general day-to-day when you've got that kind of creative energy coming through you from a real... empowering sexual experience.
Absolutely.
I think that's the common experience from the conversations I've had. I don't think it's just for us. I think a lot of people have that experience. So we should probably wrap it up.
Well, there you have it. That's quite a lot that I've shared and you've shared as well.
I
feel like we've given whoever's listening to this, a lot of insights into what's been going on for us, more than I expected. So,
I'm hoping that having this conversation might spark some people to maybe think about their own desires and bucket lists and, maybe tap into more of that and understand that it's actually completely normal to have these desires, that there's no shame in it. So long as, you're being ethical about the way that you go into these experiences or that you have these conversations, then there's nothing wrong with it. It's very healthy to have these feelings and desires and wants for bucket list items to be ticked off. But it really is just about how you approach it with the people, person in your life or even with yourself. I think that's pretty much it from us on this one. But there'll be much more. I think there'll be a lot more coming from the conversations we've had. There's been a lot of topics that we feel need their own episode after this. So if there's anything in particular that you want to hear from us around this topic, subcategories, then definitely yell out and let us know. But otherwise, thanks for watching.
Appreciate you.
That's all for today's episode. Thanks so much for joining us.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review, subscribe, and share this episode with a friend.
You can find us on our socials or head to our website for more information. Our links are in the show notes.
We'll see you next time.
We can go again if you want.